Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You wouldn't say that.
Welcome to a new edition of Warriors 24/7, a spinoff of the Rick Barry Show. My partner in crime, my compadre Rick Barry, will not be joining me today. He's on a flight to Vegas. He's coaching his Big Three team, the Ball Hogs. But joining me is someone damn close. If you see him walking into an arena or a stadium, they're not booing, they're Krugin. Larry Krueger of KNBR, my longtime friend. Dude, we've known each other for over 20 years now. I don't know if that's crazy to me. And you can follow him on Twitter at SportsLarryKNBR. Larry, how you doing, brother?
Oh, Si, I'm doing great, man. Good to see you. Good to hear you. It's been way too long, brother.
It's been a long time, man. And I'm honestly not following what's going on at your radio station that much these days. You're still a KNBR, right? You're still the afternoon drive time host, 2 to 6 with Tolbert?
Unless you know something I don't know.
So just the fact that we both co-host shows with Warriors legends of different parameters, obviously. Tolbert's a legend for a whole different reason, but Warriors fans remember him as well. And the fact that we both host these shows with these, you know, former Warriors players gives us some insights and many others don't. I guess first things first, dude, like how are you feeling about this Warriors team? How are you feeling about the offseason?
Well, you know, I just feel very fortunate. I mean, and I follow the draft pretty closely and in all sports and in, you know, the NBA, I mean, it's been pretty known for like several months, maybe as much as a year, that the top five guys, were pretty much set. And Jalen and Jonathan Kuminga was in my mind, like second or third on the list of the best players in the draft. And for him, they had the seventh pick, and for him to fall to them at seven was just a stroke of luck. And then all this talk about, well, don't draft him at seven because he can't shoot and this and that. My goodness, he's 18 years old. You know, these guys are not finished products. Kuminga has looked awesome in the summer league. He's strong as an ox. I think he can play, you know, small ball four, maybe even small ball five. I think he's a perfect fit for a team that has such incredible perimeter shooters now with Steph and Clay and Otto Porter and Bielitsa. And now you've got this guy who can put it on the deck and go to the rim with force. I love the Kuminga pick. Moses Moody is a more polished player, even though he's pretty young. I was hoping they would have gone with Trey Murphy the third there, but you know what? Musselman comes on our show regularly. He talks up Moses Moody quite a bit. I think Moody's an interesting guy. So I like that. And I like the fact that they got Porter on the minimum and Bielitsa on the minimum. I don't know if I love the idea that Joe's not going to spend the mid-level exception, but I think he just thinks it's bad business when you look at what you can potentially get for what you're going to ultimately spend. But, you know, you bought the thing for $450 million. It's worth about $5 billion right now. You'd think he would have, you know, not be sweating the mid-level exception. But who knows? And I don't know if there's more to come. You know, there's a lot of Ben Simmons rumors. There's Bradley Beal rumors. I don't know where Rick stands on it. I don't know where you stand on it. But, like, Tommy and I have talked about it. We're not in favor of moving James Wiseman.
Rick's the same. He actually likes Wiseman. He wants to keep him. All right, time to take a quick break to talk to you about our longtime sponsor, Bet Online. If you're into sports betting, Bet Online is where you should go to win money today, whether it's live bets during games or futures for who you think will win the championship, including the Golden State Warriors. Bet Online has all the latest odds, news, and information for all your online sports betting needs. Visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next big game, head on over to betonline.ag and start playing today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Today's show is also brought to you by Balance 7. So, I don't know if you heard, but apparently former NBA player Lamar Odom may be returning to professional basketball in Spain soon. I was reading a press release about how he started taking a pH-balancing alkaline supplement called Balance 7, and that's what helped him bounce back from his hospitalization in 2015. He even said, quote, "I have an enormous amount of energy, which is good for me. It's important when working out. I always need energy to level up." Couldn't agree more with Lamar. And after watching him fight Aaron Carter in July's celebrity boxing match, I think it's safe to say that Balance 7 is working for him. Cool thing is, we've got a promotion running with Balance 7 right now, where if you go to their website, balance7.com, that's balance, the number 7.com, and use the code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, at checkout, you'll receive a free 4-ounce bottle of My Smooth Skin with any purchase of Balance 7 products. That product retails at $13.99, so I'd say it's worth it. Again, head to balance7.com and use the code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, at checkout to get in on the promotion. I know I will. If it worked for him, it can work for you too.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see the advantage in, you know, all this talk about trading Wiseman and Kuminga and Moody and Wiggins and more for guys like Bradley Beal. Really? No way. There's no way I would ever consider doing that. So if they're done, are they a playoff team? Yeah. Are they a title contender? Maybe, maybe not. But I like what they've done.
I'm totally with you. I think Rick and I are in agreement about Beal and Simmons. The only player out there I'm into, and Rick's not even into this, but I thought Pascal Siakam, not giving up the house for him, but I wouldn't mind him. I think he would fit the team, but all these other names do not enamor me at all. And that's a huge reason why the topic of discussion today is that Bob Myers quote on your rival station yesterday. First of all, dude, are you bitter that you guys don't have the Warriors? I fucking hate that. I don't even want to name your rival station because they annoy the shit out of me. He was on Myers. Myers was on with their morning show yesterday. We're taping this on Friday the 13th, and he was on. They didn't even question him. I mean, he came out and he basically said, we're not going to use the mid-level exception. They never asked him who the players were that they would have used it on, right? I really would have loved that information. They never questioned him about the fact that, you're right, Joe Lacob's a fucking billionaire. Peter Gruber, his partner, who he, by the way, shares expenses with, billionaire. The team is worth $5 billion. They still earn revenue every year. It's not like they're just giving all this money away to payroll and everything else and not getting money back in return. So I'm with you. I'm just colossally disappointed that they're not going to use that mid-level exception, especially because I like Paul Millsap. I think he would be a good player to use that on. I heard rumors that Nicholas Batum, because he accepted the vet minimum with the Clippers, that the Warriors could have had him if they weren't, I guess, cheapskates. That's really, I guess, what we're trying to find out here, if they're being just penny pinchers right now, and it seems like they are. So I'm with you. By the way, we're going to play this sound real quick. This was Rick Barry yesterday on the Rick Barry Show. I'm talking about, and this will answer your question about how he feels about Kuminga and Moody and about the mid-level exception. He's actually optimistic. So here's Rick Barry.
Here's the deal. Personally, to use it, just to use it, if you don't truly believe that the person that you can get is going to be a valuable addition to your team, then I say don't use it. And maybe it's a situation for what they've seen here so far by Kuminga and Moody, that they like what they're seeing. And what's going to do, it's going to give more opportunities for especially Kuminga to get a chance to play and get some time and learn under fire. I'm becoming a little bit of a fan of his because
I know, like, I see it. I see you're turning the page. You are.
No, because I hadn't really seen him play a lot. I was just looking at stats, and stats don't tell the whole story, although they don't lie when it comes to percentages, especially at the free throw line.
Right.
There's a lot of other factors with twos and threes and when you have to take them. And there's no doubt he's got to get better in those areas. But I see skills and things that he does that are very impressive to me. I mean,
yeah.
And so I think he does have the potential to become a really good player, but it's all going to be predicated on him learning some of the little fine nuances we discussed on our last show. But also... Right. But also him getting to be a better shooter. He's got to become a more consistent shooter from twos and threes in the free throw line. If he does that with the other skills he has and the abilities that he has and keeps working on all of that, I see a really nice upside for him. I really do. And I actually think right now, Moody brings a little bit more to the table because he looks like he's pretty darn good from those three-point shots. He's very smart about moving and getting open. So I like both of them. I really do. So I'm happy to see that. How much they're going to contribute remains to be seen. But I have some optimism now, which I didn't have before.
Yeah, so those are Rick's thoughts. And so anyways, man. Yeah, so does it bother you, dude, that you don't have the Warriors? Like, I really hate that Kane Deere lost them, man. I know you guys are the 49ers and Giants. But I don't know, dude. Do you care? Does that matter to you?
I mean, I'd rather have them than not, but it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if you're a hardcore Warrior fan, and I love Tim Roy, right? And I think Tim Roy is my boy. We go way back. We go back to the Canadian League. I mean, I've known him since 1993 or something like that.
How do you know him?
TV sport. If you're a hardcore Warrior fan, you're watching it on television.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what kind of impact the Warriors really give a radio station, and I don't know. I mean, I think, whatever. I mean, it's, it is what it is. It's radio business. You know, I'd rather have there be two stations than one station. So if this is part of what it takes to have two stations and one station, then I guess I'm okay with it.
And I'm guessing you knew Tim from your days at the CFL scouting back then.
Yeah. He used to be the voice of the Sacramento Gold Miners. Now Tim and I sat poolside next to each other in Winnipeg, for crying out loud, back in 1994 or something. I've known him for a long, long time. He's a great guy. And now, Tommy joins him for a lot of those broadcasts, and it's really great. I think it's a terrific broadcast, but the reality is I only catch it when I'm in the car, and in the pandemic, I was never in the car. So it's like, the fact that where the Warriors are on radio is like,
no, I hear you.
You know what I mean? It doesn't really affect me that much.
What affects me in terms of being a fan is that I don't feel like you guys are getting the top tier guests that your rival station's getting. You know, that's the only thing I notice is that they get all these names all the time coming on. And then, of course, all they do is lob them softball questions. But you guys used to always get Bob Myers. You guys used to always get Kerr. I know they still probably come on, but it's just not at the regular frequency that those guys are getting them. That's the only way I'm seeing it different. By the way, when did you start at ESPN Radio? I know you've been on and off with them, but I saw that on your bio that you're doing Sundays on ESPN Radio. Is that right?
Well, we haven't done it since the pandemic, really. But, John Lund and I were doing Sunday nights there for about a year and a half. And we still have a contract to do more. So, I would imagine we will do more Sundays, but it's not every Sunday. It's like, we haven't done it in several months now, actually over a year. But John and I were doing Sunday nights on ESPN Radio, starting in like baseball season and continuing through football season.
That's crazy. That's prestigious, dude. I hope you get that started again. And Larry Kruger's joining me, my old compadre. I was his producer. So just for people who aren't familiar, I was an intern at KNBR starting back in 2000, and you started, I think, like in 97, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And then so right when, and just the moment I started there, you and I just clicked, and I was your producer for a while. And it's crazy that whole catastrophe was 14 years ago, that the drama that no one even remembers anymore. I'm so stoked for you, dude, that you're the afternoon drive time host there. That's fucking awesome. And going back to the Warriors, dude, so here's what they did this offseason. And God, man, so many of these media groups in the Bay Area, dude, and you don't have to add to this if you don't want to, just because I know you're more intertwined than I am, but it's just such amateur hour at so many of these places. Like, for example, you had one of these kids that they hire straight out of college at the NBC affiliate here who covers the Warriors, giving them like an A grade or saying they're winners in the offseason. This is all the Warriors did this offseason. They signed Otto Porter Jr. to a min. Bielica, is that how you pronounce his last name? You said it a second ago.
Bielica.
Jesus, congratulations on getting that right. Bielica, also in the minimum. Andre Iguodala came back, also at the bed minimum. You got the two teenagers, and I'm with you on Kuminga, by the way. We had Kristen Peek of Yahoo Sports on a little while ago, and she raved about him, and she's known him for the last 5 years. And then Moses Moody, and I'm kind of with you about I would have gone with the Virginia kid myself as well, but Moody's a fantastic pickup too. But that's it. That's all they did. So how can you say that a team with three aging stars, I mean, all three of their stars are in their 30s now, how could you say that's a successful offseason when you surrounded them with three guys who are either really old or really injury prone? I mean, do you think this was a winning offseason for the Warriors?
Well, I just don't know what you expected them to be able to do. I mean, they had the highest payroll in the NBA last year by a wide margin. Yeah. They don't want to trade Steph. They don't want to trade Clay. They don't want to trade Draymond. They just drafted Wiseman. He unfortunately missed he's going to miss all of summer. So if you're going to trade him now, you're trading him at a loss. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just bad business to trade him. So I didn't see them having tremendous options. I mean, they had these two lottery picks. And despite the fact that they're, a title contender, or at least a consistent playoff team in the West. And I thought that they did well with those picks. If they had paid big money for Bielica or Porter or Iguodala, it'd be one thing, but they got all three of those guys on the minimum.
Yeah.
So, I don't really have a problem with what they've done. I guess you could be critical and say it's not the heir of commission as much as the heir of omission. They haven't made that monster deal. That, they didn't pick up Ben Simmons. They didn't pick up Beal. But, I just didn't see that player out there. I mean, to be honest, the only thing that I would have done differently, and I was talking about it going into the draft, is I would have taken Kuminga with that first pick at 7. But I would have taken the kid Sengun, the who's now with Houston, the big man from Turkey, who's won the MVP of the Turkish League at 18. And actually looked pretty damn good for the Rockets in the summer league.
He's looking really good.
To me, I think the one part of the Warrior game that they didn't address is that they were like 29th in second chance points. They were like dead last in offensive rebounding. And that kid would have helped a ton because he goes to the offensive glass with reckless abandon. He takes it personally. It's like every offensive rebound is, somehow means life and death. And I would have loved to have seen that kind of player added to the front court to shake things up in the front court. I think their front court's a little sleepy. And when I say that, I just mean Draymond's a great player in a lot of ways, but he's not quick to loose balls and he's lost some quickness to the glass. So rebounding has become less of his thing as time has gone on. Wiseman, for as big as he is, kind of was disappointing as a rebounder.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen them add Sengun and get just a monster, spike tip offensive rebounding menace to shake things up in their front court a little bit and give them a little bit more toughness and a little bit more offensive rebounding and a little bit more just rebounding in general on both ends of the floor. But, they went after Moody. Now, it makes me – the way this roster is constructed, Cy, it makes me think that they are going to try to get Ben Simmons. And the reason I say that is because, one, I think Ben Simmons – players always have the leverage in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Simmons through, Kendrick Perkins, basically Perkins says Simmons isn't going to show up anymore for camp. So he's just demanding a trade. I think Philly's leverage is less every single minute that Daryl Morey doesn't move him. Agreed. There's no law that says that that the Sixers have to get fair market value for Ben Simmons. Coming off that playoff appearance, there's no chance in hell they're getting fair market value. And then look at the team that Golden State has surrounded. You know, if you had Ben Simmons, I mean, first of all, right now, just at small forward, they have Kuminga, Moody, Porter, Iguodala, and Wiggins. They have five small forwards. All right. Okay. And they're, and I don't really see them going with five small forwards. Then you look around the team and you're like, well, what do they have? Okay. Steph is obviously an incredible perimeter shooter. Clay's a perimeter shooter. Poole's a perimeter shooter. Moody's a perimeter shooter. They, you know, they had Kyle Guy on their summer league team. You could argue he's a perimeter shooter. Bielitsa's a perimeter shooter. They have a ton of perimeter shooting. And it just makes me wonder if they're not going to try to throw Wiggins and Moody and Damian Lee and a pick or two at the Sixers and say, we're not giving you Wiseman. We're not giving you Kuminga, but we'll take Ben Simmons off your hands. Because if you do give if you put the ball in Simmons' hands and you've got, you know, and I've even, one of the renditions of those Sixer Warrior trades I saw actually had Seth Curry coming back with Ben Simmons.
Wow.
If you somehow could make some kind of deal where that was the case, you could put the ball in Ben Simmons' hands on a team that has Steph, Seth, Clay, Poole, Bielitsa. I mean, you know, a lot of shooters. So I kind of think that they're eyeing that prize. Now, everybody, all the word coming out of Golden State's camp is that they're divided, right?
Yeah,
Stephen A. Smith used that word. I think Zach Lowe used that word. They're divided on Ben Simmons. And I think there's some belief that Simmons and Green don't fit together on the court at the same time. But I don't think that's giving enough credit to the Warriors to be able to develop the talent. I mean, look what Wiggins was before he was a Warrior. Look at what Wiggins became as a Warrior. Now you're taking a bigger, younger, better player who's an elite defensive player and an elite distributor who just needs, I mean, is he going to be a perimeter shooter? No. Mm-hmm. But could he be a serviceable free throw shooter? I don't think that's unrealistic expectation. So I think there's a belief that they can make him a better free throw shooter and surround him with a lot of perimeter shooters, and that may be their best foot forward as far as trying to run it back and get another ring. And I hope they do it. I think the more I watch Simmons, the more I think we're all creatures of the moment, and we're all, you know, slaves to what we just saw. We all have recency bias, right? So it's like, oh, we all just saw Simmons just crap the bed in the playoffs. So it's like, oh, this guy sucks. He's 24. He's all defense. He's 6'10 with point guard skills. Has he worked on his free throw shooting? No. Does he need to work on his free throw shooting? Yes. But it's not the end of the world. It's not, it's not like this guy is sentenced to a lifetime of he's going to be a G leaguer. Right. He just needs to be. He doesn't fit with Embiid. He doesn't fit in Philly. The pressure of that moment's way too big there. A advantageous trade that brings him to Golden State and surrounds him with perimeter shooting in the West Coast with this softer environment, I think is exactly what the doctor ordered. And I think that's the move that caps their offseason. I don't want Beal. I don't want several of these other guys I've heard mentioned. I like Siakam if you could get him for Wiggins and Moody or something like that.
Yes.
But, you know, that's another one. That's another move that makes sense because, as I said, you have five small forwards, and if you could trade two of them for Siakam, who on this team would probably be a five or a four, now I think that makes sense. So to me, there's only really two moves that they could make to round out this offseason. Wiggins and Moody for Simmons in a package, Wiggins and Moody for Siakam in a package. And I do think I would do either of those moves.
And you make sense. I actually see Simmons playing center a lot. I could see him fitting doing that, right? I mean, a point center kind of role. No, I'm with you 100%. The reason why I guess I don't see the Warriors offseason being successful is that A, and I love your insights on this. I do think the mid-level exception would have been worth it for Nicholas Batum. I do think it would have been worth it. I still think it's worth it for Paul Millsap.
They may have offered it to him, Si. You don't know that they didn't offer it to him. He just opted to go somewhere else. Didn't he re-sign with the Clips?
He re-signed with the Clips. There was just so much speculation with his wife's social media chatter about the Warriors. It seemed like all signs are pointing to that. And the fact that he signed with the Clippers for the vet minimum is why I'm thinking the Warriors just didn't offer enough to get him. But look, there's a couple of things they did. The Oubre situation, clearly Oubre Jr. was not a great fit for the Warriors. But why not, if you weren't going to keep him, why not trade him last year? Why just squander that $15 million slot that you just lost forever? That part I don't like. I don't like when your team loses assets.
It's Myers trying to curry favor with the owner by putting more dollars in his pocket. Yeah, you know, he's basically saying, like, Joe, you know, and I also think that when they opted not to move Oubre at the deadline, we don't know what they were going to get back. I think they wanted to see if they could get a better deal in the offseason. They clearly either couldn't or didn't want to take on the money. But I mean, when you're looking at how punitive, you know, it's like, it's almost like the Warriors and the Warriors owners didn't read the rules on the CBA until this year. It's like, oh shit, we're gonna have to pay this repeater tax. Oh shit, this thing's gonna escalate beyond belief. Oh shit, you know, if we spend $5 million, we're gonna have $40 million in tax. That's not smart. And it's like, well, you know what? You got to bring ass to get ass. You got to spend money to make money.
Yes.
You got to, you know, you just turned a $450 million asset into $5.5 billion. And now you're gonna bitch about the mid-level. But I just think that they think it's not good business. I would have loved to have seen them, you know, get Colin Sexton or even Schroeder for the second team. You know, he was out there maybe. You know, he took the mid-level from Boston. Why couldn't they have given Schroeder the mid-level?
Absolutely.
But who's to say that he wanted to sit behind Steph? Obviously Schroeder thinks he's a star. He turned down $85 million. So, you know, maybe he didn't want to come here and sit the pine behind Steph. I didn't love the way they handled the Oubre thing. But I also think that they just were looking to kind of – they were just – when they didn't make the move at the deadline for Oubre, it wasn't them stating we like Oubre. It was them stating that we think maybe we can do better down the road. So they just kicked that can down the road, and then it wound up giving them nothing. You know, they wound up wasting that money. And as Oubre's – the laughable moment of the offseason was Oubre saying that he didn't get a fair shot with the Warriors. Bro, you couldn't throw it in the ocean. You shot 14% on threes for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, he did.
You're lucky you weren't banished.
Yeah, I mean, horrible start.
I mean, guy, literally Draymond, if you watch the games, Draymond was like motioning him, you know, to clear out like more times than not for other people because they didn't trust his outside shot. So he's one of those guys that he piles up stats and accumulates stats on second division basketball teams. He'll never wear a ring. He'll never contend for a title because he doesn't play winning basketball. He's not a good shooter. He's an incredible athlete who can put the ball on the deck at will and get to the front of the rim at will.
Yes.
And yet he'd rather kick it at the 3-point line and hoist, but you can't shoot. That's not your game. And it's like, the fact that other people need to tell you what your game is just shows how lost he is as a player. So he wasn't a fit, but I don't know how critical I want to be about the Warriors because if you go down each one of their moves, I like Bielitsa for the minimum. I like the idea of bringing back Iguodala when you have so many young players. I like Porter and what he can bring if healthy at the minimum. I like the Kuminga pick. I can live with the Moody pick. I just would like to see that one more significant move that either brings in Siakam or Simmons, but there's downsides to both. I mean, Siakam's probably not going to play till Christmas. He had labrum surgery on that shoulder. So he's not going to be ready to roll at the beginning of the year.
I don't know
how much does that matter. I don't know. And then Simmons, as we know, is a broken player with a broken psyche who from all indications doesn't work all that hard. So they're going to have to change his shot and get him to work a whole lot harder and rededicate himself to the sport that he plays. And it's hard to do, Si, when you have the kind of money that he has. It's hard to tell a guy you need to work harder when he's got $41 million coming his way. You know what I'm saying?
And so Kendall Jenner and Kendall Jenner's in
there
bed
may
with
not
him.
Be a way to get him to work harder. Yeah. So personally, I mean, if they're done, I'd give them like a B minus off season. If they add one of those other guys, I'd make it more like a B plus, A minus off season. Anybody who's like giving them a straight A right now is, you know, on the broadcast team or, you know, applying for a job with the Warriors.
Yeah, or cheerleader. Yeah. And Larry, you and I are old enough to remember the Eddie D school of sports ownership, where you don't treat it like a business. You treat it like a family, and you spend what it takes to win. You don't look at the bottom line when it comes to dollars in terms of making a difference. And the Oubre thing just blew up in their face. That's why I give them more of like a C grade, because I just don't like losing assets for nothing. And that's what happened there. I'm with you, though. I don't, at this point, given with the roster, I don't think they should make a trade. I think they should just roll with what they have. Do you think they're holding out on the mid-level exception for a possible buyout at the halfway point of the season? Because you do see a lot of veterans getting bought out. Kevin Love is the name that Rick and I love. But like, we both think he would be a great fit on this team. Do you think that's a possibility, or are they really just penny pinching?
I don't even think Love is worth the mid-level at this point. I mean, he showed up to the Olympic team fat and out of shape, you know, and they basically told him to go home. I mean, I like Kevin Love a little bit. I mean, but at this point, what's he giving you? I mean, a corner three.
Yeah.
Some nice rebounding. Outlet passing.
Rebounding. They don't have size, Larry. Larry, they don't have size.
Stretch the floor a little bit. But Bielitsa gives you, in a lot of ways, what Love gives you. I like Bielitsa a lot. I mean, first of all, I just think that the Warriors have missed an opportunity. When you have perimeter shooting like Stephen Clay, and then you can add a 6'10 perimeter shooter, now you're really stretching the floor. Because think about it. When you have to close out on Steph or Clay, that opens up the floor. When you have to close out on Stephen Clay and a 6'10 sniper, right, you got to get way, way, way out to get in the face of a 6'10 sniper. To me, that opens things up for Kuminga and Wiseman. I think what I would say, I would roll with what I have, unless I could make an advantageous deal for one of those two other guys. But I think I would say this to James Wiseman. James, I got good news and I got bad news for you. The bad news is that I don't want you shooting perimeter shots anymore. I know you have developing guard skills. Develop them in practice. Okay. That's the bad news. Stop shooting perimeter shots. And I'd probably say the same thing to Kuminga. Don't shoot perimeter shots. And same thing to Draymond. Don't shoot perimeter shots. But what I would say to Kuminga and to Wiseman and to Draymond is that, you know, I want to rebound. I want to get out and run. And the first goal of Warriors offense this year, the very first shot we're trying to get, should be a Wiseman or a Kuminga dunk in transition. Let's rip and run. Let's get out in the open floor. Let's see if we can get Wiseman or Kuminga a dunk on the break. And if that doesn't work, then let's get into our offense. Yeah. And then those guys become pick setters and rebounders and facilitators for the shooters. They're not half court offense guys, but they can play. You know, the good news is you guys are the first option on offense for us. We're going to rip and run. We're going to get out in the open floor. We're going to try to get transition buckets. You're going to be a rim runner, shot blocker, defender. That's what you're going to be. And we got 9 guys on this team that can shoot the 3-ball, and they're all better than you. So you don't shoot any 3-balls, Draymond. You don't shoot any 3-balls, Wiseman. Kuminga, I know your 3's coming. Let it come in practice. You just run the floor and dunk and defend. And that's it. And then if you don't get that bucket in transition, then pull it out and let Steph or Clay or one of your marksmen on this team shoot the basketball. And yeah, to me, that's I think that could work. You know, I think I think it should incentivize the Warrior young players to rebound. It should incentivize everybody to get out and run. It should incentivize Kuminga and Wiseman to really run the floor. It should incentivize everybody to pass ahead. And if those guys are getting 5 or 6 dunks a game off in transition, that's going to be good for the team.
It is.
Know? And then, then when you settle into the half court, set picks and let somebody else shoot. I mean, I think I like what I've seen. I think I like the mix that Golden State has because they have more offense, more perimeter shoot. And Porter's a career 40% 3-point shooter.
If he's healthy,
like 38%. Yeah. Steph and Clay are the best there are. You know, so you know Kyle Guy can flat out shoot. So if you, I mean, you get some of these guys coming off the bench or some of these guys in the lineup, you know, in the half court, let those guys do their thing, set picks. Otherwise, rip and run, rebound and defend, rim run.
And I like Gary Payton II as well. I do.
I love him too.
Yeah,
he's an impact defender, man. That guy's—he's all of 6'4". He's got long arms. He is a menace defensively. Put that guy on the other team's best offensive player for 5 to 10 minutes a game, and that's his role. You know, seriously, I asked Kerr about it. I said, Steve, he reminds me of an impact defender. Like, this guy can seriously make an impact for any team he's on, just on the defensive end of the floor. He said, I agree. He's absolutely a shutdown. He's got long arms. He's a superior athlete. He's tenacious as hell. He can leap. Yeah, Payton was a nice add. And the fact that they kind of redid his contract, and so he's kind of on a two-way thing, I think that's good too.
And Rick loved Chioza, by the way. I don't know if you know much about him, but
I love Chioza as well. Yeah. The step back threes that he can make are incredible. You know, I think that was a Kenny Atkinson move. You know, Atkinson had him in Brooklyn.
Yes.
And I think Chioza is a nice player. You know, see, and then look what you got at the one. You got Steph and you got Chioza and you have Payton. Nico's not going to be there, but I mean, you know, that's some decent point guard play right there. Not to mention Jordan Poole.
Yeah. Oh, and I can't believe his turnaround. That's about the one thing I'll admit I was wrong on, and a lot of people were. I did not think Jordan Poole would turn around like this. They're counting on him.
I thought he was a shameless gunner.
Yes.
Destined for low percentage. But, man, you know, Fitz, I was talking to Bob Fitzgerald, and he was like, hey, man, during the pandemic, nobody worked harder. Nobody was in the facility more than Jordan Poole. And then it showed this year. It really showed. I mean, he did his work. If he improves as much from last year to this year as he did from that first year to the second year, they got something there.
See, that's the sound of a professional broadcaster, folks. It doesn't get better than that. Larry Kruger. Dude, you've been in the radio game for a long time. Do you see yourself staying there? Are you going to ever do the podcast thing and start your own little media empire? What do you envision the next 5, 10 years for yourself?
You know, I've started doing podcasts a little bit, but, you know, I haven't really dedicated myself to it and done it religiously. I'm not really sure. I mean, I enjoy doing the radio thing quite a bit. It's a lot of fun. you know, I do some contractual player personnel work in the NFL for a couple teams, from the friends I have in the league. I wouldn't mind doing a little bit more on the player personnel side because I think that's like my first gift. I mean, that's what I'm best at, I think. But you never know. You never know. You know, I enjoy doing what I'm doing, and I just don't look too far down the road.
That's a good strategy. It's worked out for you so far. Larry, man, we could talk for hours. I'm not going to keep you much longer because you got to actually do the show you're getting paid to do on KNBR. You can follow him again on Twitter. That is Larry Kruger at Sports Larry KNBR. I hope you register the Twitter account Sports Larry in case you ever leave there someday. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. Larry, man, let's hang out soon. It's been way too long, man. Thank you so much, brother. It's great to see you, dude. You look great.
Sai, you're always a pleasure, man. And what's the background there? What are we looking at?
That is Big Sur. I took that picture. I'm sure you've gone there with the family. By the way, one of your kids is at Cal Poly, right? I teach there.
I got a kid who's a construction management major down at Cal Poly. And I got a daughter at Davis. I got a sophomore in high school and in here in the Creek. I got a 12-year-old. So yeah, I love that Cal Poly area, man. I love Pismo and all that, you know, all that central coast down towards Santa Barbara. Oh. Man, that's probably the best part of California right there.
Agreed. 100% agree. Yeah. I love working there and spending my time there part time. And yeah, let's definitely hang out soon, Larry. I mean, I knew you when you had no kids. I can't believe all this, dude. Like, just congrats.
Seriously,
everything.
Dude. No you kids. I had great. I used to have black hair. Now I have gray hair. Damn, man.
I know my beard's got the grays. Yeah, Larry. Great to see you, brother. Take care, man.
Take it easy, man.
All right. We'll talk soon again off the radio or the podcast in this case. That was Larry Krueger. This is Warriors 24/7. That was such a pleasure talking to my old friend Larry Krueger, and I'm going to ask him to come back on throughout the regular season because his insights are incredible. He's connected. He knows how to evaluate talent. He knows what he's talking about. He knows sports. The man's an intellect, and he's also funny. It's a fantastic combination. It's why he's been successful so long in the media game. So Rick and I will, I'm sure, do a show soon, either with the Rick Barry Show or Warriors 24/7. Both those shows are streamed through the Warriors 24 Podcast Network. Hopefully you subscribe to that. You can follow me on Twitter at DocSurfRoadShow. You can follow the program's social media accounts at Warriors24Pod. And again, Rick Barry, I'm sure, will be joining me again soon. He's on his way to Vegas right now to coach the Big Three and the Ball Hogs. But thank you so much for listening. Until the next time, this is Warriors 24/7. I'm Cyrus Sotzes. Take care. Presented by Bet Online. I don't care easy.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.